Okay, we're going to continue from the 8th chapter. A little background information. It's interesting that I started here because we're going to review one of our favorite concepts, that if someone takes hold of land for 3 years and works it and uses it like it's his, we need to know this for here.
Built-in review.
Look at this. Okay, so we know, so if someone takes someone's land and works it for 3 years like he owns it, that he can actually make a claim that it's his. The background to it is that Beis Din does not expect the purchaser to hold on to the document which proves his purchase for more than 3 years. So if after 3 years he claims that he made a purchase, we don't assume or we don't demand of him that he present the document. Therefore, it comes out that if someone takes someone else's property and for 3 years there's no protest, if there's no protest for those 3 years, in essence, this person who squatted can now take possession of the land. So let's jump in. We'll see some other pieces. Hopefully, we can adjust as we get there. Okay, halacha aleph. Kishemoridin hakaruv lenichse hashivui o haboriach o lenichse ayotzi ledas sheshamu bo shemes lo yurido katan. Okay, so the Rambam begins by speaking about when Beis Din installs a person to work someone's land. There are certain conditions that Beis Din will use to make their decision. The first thing we need to understand is that the person they install is going to get a deal of a sharecropper, which means, well, there's a bit of an argument in Rashi and Tosfos, but basically we're going to say that he divides the profits of the field. The reason that we do this approach is that we are afraid that if someone is working land that is not his, for example, if I all of a sudden have access to someone else's land and I'm on the clock, that I'm not going to get all the produce for this year, I'm going to probably overwork the field. And of course, it doesn't have to be a field, it could be other properties as well. I'm going to overwork it, and I'll deplete it, and I'll damage the actual field. So it's for everyone's benefit that the person who's working the land gets some share in it, and a more of a guaranteed share, and as much as even produce that he doesn't himself produce, because that way he'll treat the land property. Okay, so the question is, who do we select? The first rule we just heard is that for three types of owners of land, someone who is lenichse yashivoy, the property of someone who was taken captive, o habareach. Gemara describes a bareach, a fugitive. Literally, as I discussed, that basically it's an idea, say, if you're in Babylon and if you were either accused of committing murder, let's leave it at that.
Is it a city of refuge or not necessarily?
Not really a city of refuge, no.
This isn't Israel.
This is, say, in Babel, per se. Yeah. But it could be.
You have to run away.
Basically, you're running away because
not legally, you're just running away.
Well, the example specifically was at the courts of the.
It's
of
not
the,
part of it.
Dine Machusa, not the Jewish courts, right. are out to get you. Uh-huh. And so you ran away. Could be other circumstances as well, but that was the one I saw discussed. If property of a castle and came captive, one of a fugitive, and three, if someone left on their own, they maybe heard something was coming, they decided to sort of be proactive and leave beforehand. If news came back to us that they passed away, this would be the third type of property which Beis Din is going to install someone to work the land as a sharecropper. In each case, keep in mind, we're not sure if the person will return. In other words, if he's captive, he could be freed. If he is a fugitive, perhaps some new development will occur in the case, or maybe the current kingship will flip over. And likewise, if this person left voluntarily, we're not sure if he did pass away.
It's just a rumor that he's passed away.
It's a rumor that he's passed away, and presumably he only left because he wanted to avoid some difficult times, and he could come back if those times don't occur or they pass over. So the rule that Beis Din is going to use is they're not going to install a katan. That's right, your kids will not take over your land. So straightforward, the Rambam says, Shema Yafsin and Nechasim. Maybe the properties will lose, will be destroyed. Maybe the child presumably won't know how to run the property. So it's irresponsible, Beis Din will not take a child to run the property. It's the idea of a win-win, and we don't...
We're talking about bar mitzvah, that's the definition. Was it 20?
I'm not sure what the definition of gadol is in this case. Generally, I've seen that even sometimes... At least by Ribbis, we talked about orphans who can lend with Durban and Ribbis, that even sometimes it's not if someone, it's the Gadol is defined in terms of his knowledge of finances. So it's not so much simply that he went through puberty or whatnot. Yeah. At least that's how I remember it. So that's rule number one. Rule number two. Vein Maridin Karov the Nichsei Katan. Now here is where we need to understand the preamble that we started with. Okay, the rule is we're not going to install a relative to the property of a child. Okay, now keep in mind that this obviously is going to be an issue because if the relative works land for 3 years, all of a sudden he may have a claim on this land, and we'll have a mechanism that he could have inherited it because he's a relative. So we'll see how that will happen, please. Shema Yitoin, maybe this relative.
A claim.
Yeah, make a claim. And Viyomar ze chalki hamagia li brushusasi. Ah, so let's say Reuven's the katan, Shimon is the gadol, Shimon's the adult. He was installed by Beis Din. This won't happen because we have this rule. But if we didn't have this rule, Shimon would be installed in Reuven's on the land that is Reuven's when Reuven comes back. And Shimon potentially was working the land for 3 years. And he doesn't have to be the captive. Even if he would be the person whose father was taken captive, and we don't know if the father is going to come back. Since Reuven won't know to make a protest because he's a katan, we're afraid that Shimon will be able to work the land for 3 years and without a protest, and then Shimon will, in essence, be able to take the land. Now just say, I'm the one who inherited it. So the Rambam was going to give a little more detail to
Wouldn't
how this...
Would there be a contract, though? If it's a,
that's what... It's for, well, hopefully we'll get there soon.
But that's a good point.
We'll see. Well, there are rules about what
they're saying. Probably there's a percentage.
Right.
Yes, I think it's halakha bees. It could be more than that. Okay. But filu karav machmas karav in meridin. We're not even going to allow the relative of a relative. So, in this case, we'll have a third person, Levi, right? So, Reuven's the katan. Let's just keep it simple. His father was taken captive. If his father passed away or whatnot, isn't going to make it back here, then the katan will inherit the land. Nonetheless, in the meantime, Beis Din will not install Shimon. Because of this rule. Now, if they didn't have this rule, they would install Shimon. Likewise, they have a rule that they won't install Levi. Now, who's Levi? Levi is Shimon's relative, but he's not Reuven's relative. He's a relative of a relative. So, say through marriage.
Right.
Okay. So, we're not even, or even perhaps with the mother, if they have different the family trees are a bit more creative. So, you're not going to install a relative of a relative again because you could end up making certain claims, which would say that there's because of some sort of form of inheritance, it's really my property. Okay, so Kitza, the Rambam asks, how so? Okay, so Hayu Shnei Achim, Echad Gadol VeEchad Katan. So really, we have this case illustrated. Shimon is the adult, the Gadol. Reuven is the Katan. V'Nishba HaKatan, or Barach. The Rambam is bringing a case where Reuven himself was taken captive or was a fugitive. Ein Maridin Agadol V'Toich Sadehu. Beis Din will not take Shimon and put him as the owner, as the sharecropper of the field, not owner of sharecropper. Mimnesha Katan Eino Yachol Imchais, because the Katan doesn't know to protest and may not know how. V'Shema Yachzig Zeh, and perhaps Shimon will take control of the land. V'ul Acher Shanim Yomar, and after many years, the brother will say, "Zehu chelki shagia liber shusi." This is my portion, which I inherited. Umachmas yerusha baasim, through the inheritance, on account of my inheritance, it came to me. Okay, so that's the first illustration. Again, the main rule here is that we are not going to install an adult on the field that will belong to a katan. The Rambam continues, "Vefilu ben achiv." Even if, keeping it simple, let's say a Shimon, who is the brother, Shimon was, say, much, much, much older than Reuven, and he had a kid who was even older than Reuven. We wouldn't even install the kid because of the similar type of claim. So, v'afilu ben achiv shalzeh hakatan, hanishba, ein maridin oso, lenichasav, shemi yomar machmas avi yirushasi, chilek zeh. Again, so it's the exact same idea. Anyone who can claim an inheritance, we're not going to put as a sharecropper in the field because we're setting them up to make a false claim. Okay, halacha beis. La'olam ein maridin karav l'nichsei katan. We never put a relative on the property of a child. Okay? So we're building on the first halacha. Afilu karov machmas achi ha'im. She'inan really yarish. We're even not going to install I've seen this translated as the brother of, as the maternal brother. It could also work if it's the brother of the mother. But let's say it's the brother of the maternal brother. It'd be very similar. Now, we would have thought Nachala only works with the father, right? If you have five brothers, they're all going to inherit from Yaakov, if Yaakov is their father. And it really, it doesn't necessarily have to go to the woman. However, what would happen here? The brother from, if say, let's add a new person, Eliezer. Eliezer is Reuven's brother. Eliezer is going to be older. He's from the first marriage. They're only brothers through their mother. That means, say, Rivka had a son, Eliezer. Okay, after that, maybe she was widowed. She ends up getting married to, let's say, Yaakov. When Rivka marries Yaakov, her second husband, she has Reuven. Now, their property is called Nichsei Malug properties, which the husband gets rights to use. They can make the payers, but he gets, say, the derivatives profit from it. However, if Yaakov dies first, the property goes back to Rivka. Now, if the property went to Rivka and then Rivka passed away, her son from her first marriage, Eliezer, will actually be the one who inherits that property. As opposed to if Rivka dies first, and then Yaakov dies, it goes from Yaakov, because Yaakov inherited from her, and then it goes down to Reuven. So we're saying that this is a case where it's really Reuven's property, but we're not even going to install Eliezer, his older maternal brother, although I would have thought that since they're not related to their father, there won't be an issue of false claim because of saying I really inherited it. We said that he still really could make a claim of inheritance. So we're saying even in this case, we're not going to allow it. Continuing, again, we're specifying all these cases where you might have thought we'll allow an adult to take the sharecropping responsibilities of the child. We're not going to allow. So let's continue. Okay, Rat Rama just adds, V'archaka yisira hizu. This is an extra measure of what we just described to safeguard. V'filu haya b'nehem, this is what you were asking, Sam. Shtar ha'chalokeach, b'in b'batim, b'in b'sados, lo yared. If a few amar kasvi alai shtar arisos lo yared shema yervdu ashtaros. Okay, we'll stop and we'll go through this a little more slowly. So there are three possibilities we're going through right now. Maybe I have a document that of how the nachala, how the inheritance was divided. Therefore, I can't make a false claim because there's a document. So very nice. My older brother says this, he really inherits property. Well, there's a document. So I would have thought, because we remember documents, we have to say have something called kol, and there's a publication element to a document. It's accessible, people know about it. So we would have thought that therefore you're not going to deny it with a false claim just because Shimon was working on Reuven's property for 3 years. So what? There's a document and it shouldn't mean anything. But we're already learning, Rambam says maybe it's going to be lost. We're not going to play around with this. Two, the Gemara speaks out a difference by houses and fields. So different types of properties. We would have thought certain properties people are more aware of. For example, let's just say the bayit. Let's say the bayit changes ownership. Whatever that exactly means. Everyone's going to hear about it. Everyone's paying attention to this building. Whereas a field out in Markham, people aren't necessarily paying attention to when it switches hands. I would have thought that by a field where people aren't paying attention to the ownership, that's where I can't install an adult to take the sharecropping responsibilities. But by houses where maybe someone's renting out these houses, or people are paying attention to who has this property, there people won't forget. The neighbors will remember who really got it. They'll remember the story. After 3 years, we're going to be okay. So I'm saying no. Don't think that just because certain properties people are paying attention to, and therefore even people aren't going to forget, we're not going to play around. No matter the type of property, we're not going to let an owl take over the sharecropping or really the management responsibilities to divide profits. And the last one was that even by a shtar resus. So we know literally a resus is the language for sharecropper. We're not even going to allow, even if Shimon says, look, Bastin, we will write a document that I am taking over this land as a sharecropper, and therefore I can't possibly make such a claim. Still, Bastin says no. Why? Because the documents may be lost. Via ruchu ayamim, And the days will pass. Vietzain. And Shimon will end up in the end making a claim that it's his. V'yomar, and he'll say, Shezechi, look, Yerusha, this is a part of my inheritance. Balo machmaso, o machmas mersho. And it's coming to me properly. Okay, so we're going to continue.
Well, I guess the issue is that there could be long periods of time here. We could be talking 15, 20 years.
Yeah, you don't know.
And then people, you know, court documents get lost. People, judges grow old and, you know, thing, and a new group of people. And this guy was a little kid when it all happened. And who knows?
Yeah. There's an interesting halakha, too, even. We apply, at least in one of the variations, we apply that even if someone's a katan when Shimon takes over the land, and then he becomes a gadol, and he still doesn't protest, like in the variation, I guess, where we allow Shimon to do it, we would give the katan the benefit of the doubt that even though he became a gadol afterwards, we still don't assume he would know, since the ownership of property occurred when he was a katan. We still even presume when he's older, he may not know the protest.
Even though if there was another property while he was a gadol, we would deal with him as a gadol, but because of that property that he was katan at the time.
Because when he was a katan at the time, he may have not known the nuances of what the ownership is. Okay, so this is an interesting case the Gemara brings. Maisa b'isha achas. There was an event that occurred with a particular woman, Shehayula Shalush Bana. She had three daughters, and there are four ladies in a total here. We're going to keep track of what's happening to each one. Vinishbis Hazikna, the elder woman, the matriarch, got captured. He, her, Ubas Achas, and one of the daughters. Okay, so we have one daughter captured, one, the mother, the matriarch, captured. We have two daughters left in town. Umesa Bas Shnia. The second one passes away, but listen carefully. Vahanicha ben katan, she left one son. Va'amrucha. So okay, just before we go, so we have one daughter left and one son from the other, another daughter. There's a minor. So there's in essence two portions that are currently here. If the captives, the one people who are captive, do not come back. So va'amrucha chamim. The chachamim said, Ein Meridian Zu Habas Hanishara the Nechasim. We will not install the older daughter who still is in town on the properties. Why? Shema Misa Hazikna. Because there's a possibility that the matriarch passed away. V'nimtzu Shalish Nechasim. Elu lekatan ve'ein meridim karav lenechse katan. So, if the matriarch passed away, that means, in theory at least, that the properties would be divided into three portions: one for each daughter. Of course, one of those daughters is going to be inherited by the young child. That means a third, in theory, belongs to the child still. As much as a portion belongs to a child, how do we install an adult over the portion? V'chein ein meridin lezeh hakatan. Likewise, we can't install the child b'nechasim. Why? In other words, maybe just give him a third, and we'll call it a day. Right? Then we won't have the problem that we're going to be installing the sister over his portion.
The mother could still be alive.
Shema adayin hazikna v'chayim. But we don't know. Maybe the matriarch is still alive. In which case, it's not divided, and it really still belongs to the matriarch.
Right.
Therefore, like we said at the beginning, we can't install a child over the properties of a captive because the child won't have the financial sense and he'll likely lose value. V'ein meridin katan l'nechse shivui. And as we said, we don't put a child over the properties of a captive. Now, elakitai deit oisim. So the Rambam says, well, what do we do? So, mitoch shetzarich lahamid apitropus. Now again, the apitropos is not a sharecropper. Really, we're saying a manager, but based in a non-relative manager.
An overseer.
Okay. And as much as we need to establish an overseer, lechati shal katan, ma'amid apitropos al kol nechse azikna. So in as much as you might have thought, we'll take the remaining daughter and put her over half, and the child over, and put him over the other half. So maybe wait, that way they're each getting sort of sharecropper rights. We're going to say no. In as much as that we have to put an administrator over the child's portion, and it's also pointed out that more people are often willing to do a chesed project for a child, which is not going to be for an adult. So we're going to have a lot of volunteers, presumably, or at least more so for the child. As much as the administrator overseer will be already doing it for the child's portion, then within that willingness, we can also get them to look over the entire property.
What does old mean?
Sorry?
What does old mean in this case?
Old, I think I'm using just to mean not a child.
No, elderly mother.
Oh.
Yeah.
85. I don't know. No, I don't really know. I don't know. But presumably she had three daughters.
Well, she has a daughter who has already had a kid, so she's at least
40.
Daughter's at least 40.
Yeah. 26.
I'm just curious. It said paragraph above it talked about a third.
Yes.
And then it says the half designated to the minor. How do we get from a third to a half?
That's a very good question.
We're not assuming the other daughter died in captivity, are we?
Not yet, because we're about to do that now.
So how do we get to a half?
So I think we got to a half, and they each have share copyright. So each of them really should be getting half. And if they're both adults, they would be getting current produce value.
Other sisters, not.
Yeah, and yeah, yeah, exactly. As much as they're the ones, then they have access to land. Okay. Acher zman. So this is we're going to finish up this halacha. Acher zman. So some time passes, and Shimu Shemisa has ignited. It turns out that the matriarch passed away, and so we have three portions we're concerned about. Amru Chachamim. The Chachamim said, "Teirid habas hanishara l'shalish hanichasim." Let's give the daughter.
The present live daughter that remained in town.
Her third of the of her properties. Since now we know that it's actually divided into thirds, we can divide and give her a third. Shehu chelek yerushusa. That's her what she gets to inheritance. But yered hakatan l'shalish. Shehu chelko menichseiz azikna. And we'll give the child his third, and we, you know, of course, we could also appoint an overseer just in case he himself can't do it. But shalish shall bas shvui. But the third, the sorer, belongs to the daughter who remains captive. Ma'amidin lo apitropis. Now, why do we put an overseer over her portion? Mipnei chelik hakatan, because ultimately the child may have a portion in it. Why? Shema mesa. Because this third daughter, the one who's still captive, may pass away. Gam habasa shuya, this captive daughter. V'yeshleza katan chetzia shalish shela. And what will happen is if that third daughter passes away, then half of it will go to the katan. And as much as half might belong to the katan, we can't establish the sister over it. Because she may make a claim that it's really her inheritance, as we saw at the beginning of these halachas. Yeah? Say it one more time. So again, so we have three portions left over. We have three portions once we know the matriarch's passed away. One's to the daughter that remained in town, one's to the cotton, and one's to the daughter that remains captive. Now, the people in town, it's fairly straightforward. We know that the overall property is three portions. We'll give them their portions. All that remains is that there's one-third of the total property of the mother left. Now, the problem is that if the owner of that property, the daughter who's still captive, passes away, it'll end up that half of this third will fall into the cotton's hand. But if we install the sister who remains over it and say we don't find out for a number of years that the third sister passed away, that sister will now be in a position where she can claim, since she was working in anyways, that actually came to her through the inheritance. So we're not allowed to establish a karov over the nixei cotton. Use the language from the beginning. We can't establish a relative over a property that may be.
And you can't say the child's neither.
Yeah.
There's no husbands mentioned. You should know this, maybe the answer.
Yeah.
Would they?
Yeah, I mean.
Say the daughter died if she had.
I do think that, from what I understand, that the husband would get it if he was there before the child. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And what about the matriarchy?
Presumably she's not there. I think that's what they, I think. Well, you know,
I think take over first, 100%.
I think that's the language. Yeah, the Gemara is probably trying to imply when it said there was a story once where there was a matriarch and three daughters, and that there were not.
Would it make a difference if it was the father and three daughters?
I don't see why. I mean, assuming there are no sons, I don't think so in this case. Right. I'll top of my hand on this.
So how did the mother end up with the property?
I mean, from the father. That's
is she
it.
A widow?
Maybe she's a widow.
She brought it with her, maybe, to the marriage.
Usually, no, I
know. The daughters that go to.
Maybe I'd have to review. I don't know. Maybe. I think the mother would, off the top of my head, but I don't know.
That's what I'm asking. The husband wouldn't have any claim to that.
Oh, if he was if he divorced, you're saying if it's a divorce.
Yeah,
If it's a divorce, I mean, she gets her property back, all of it.
All of it.
Because really, the kasuba is only for her advantage.
They were married. And
she brought it with her.
She brought it into the marriage, so therefore she would keep it.
Well, I think she even gets her next name Malug property, too. It's just that the Tzon Barzal, he has a responsibility. So if for some reason there's depreciation in the Tzon Barzal, he has to replace the full value back to her. So that's
what's
Indian. She gets her property. I mean, if the husband divorced her,
no, if they're married and she does,
then the husband would get it.
Yeah,
that I'm almost positive.
Yeah, so
if he had sons and they get it.
Yeah, no, if he had sons, and
they get it. Gotcha.
Yeah, but they're responsible for that in some ways. Okay, we could begin the next halacha.
The short one.
Perek Tishi'i. So we're going to begin halacha 9. So we're going to find a general way that partnerships can form with brothers, which is good. Certainly a good thing to learn. Okay, ha'achin she'adayin lo chalku yerushas avihen, brothers who have not yet divided the properties that came to them from their father, the properties of their father. Ela rather kulan mishtamshin yachad b'mashan niach lahen avihen. Rather, they're all using what was given from their father together.
Partnership.
Hari Hein Kesheitvin. These brothers are considered to be partners. That's something of a corporation. It's all really one entity, and they're all just members of this entity. They're partners. The Koldaver, for everything. For everything that's all this property. Now, V'chein, it's not only brothers, but it's Bishar HaYershin. All inheritors that are have the situation where they haven't divided what they inherited, rather they're using it together. Hari Hein Shidvin. These are partners. B'nichsei Marishan. Within the properties of what they inherited. V'kol Shinasa V'nasa. And anyone that does business with these properties. Kol Echad Mehen V'mamon Zeh. And Haskar L'emsa. And basically, they all have an equal portion in any of this collective property. Therefore, even if one person's doing business, the profits go and are divided amongst all of them.
So the Bechor gives up his double?
I don't think so. So I'm not.
Does he have a greater share in this?
Yeah, I presume he has a greater share. That's a great question. Great point. Yeah. I presume that he has a greater share.
They say in the footnote that the guy who does the business doesn't even get a payment for his time.
Oh, for Tircha.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
So the Bechor would get double the profits.
I'm saying, wait, he's giving it up.
I presume they have two. I mean, assuming as much as the property that fits, that goes, he gets a double portion of, I presume he gets a double portion. But to be honest, that's just logic. I haven't said. Okay, we can try to do one more. Okay, like a bees. Oh, is it 9:45? Okay, let's call it then. All right. Stop.